You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, cousins. We're all family here, so we'll refer to our listening audience as not only our extended family, but even a more familial term, we'll refer to them as cousins, or even brothers and sisters. James Edwards, Keith Alexander here, and listen, we're live, red hot and rolling. Last show before Thanksgiving, and then when we come back with you next week, we're going to kick off the fourth and final fundraising drive of the year, and it's going to be an important one because, folks, again, as we stated just a few minutes ago, we are poised to make big strides, the likes of which perhaps have never been made in such a short time. We've been building up and building up over the course of these 9 years, week in, week out, month in, month out, for 9 years it's been building, and we're really about to enjoy, I think, some great advancement here in the very near future, but it will be contingent upon, of course, the support we received during that fourth quarter fundraising drive, which kicks off next Saturday. Be ready for that. Great incentives as always, and even more importantly, some very good reasons for you to stand with us, as so many of you do every time. Well, Keith has brought in some books, some papers, some restaurant receipts with notes scribbled on them. He's got a lot to talk to you about here in the last 30 minutes. He'll be with us before Winston Smith joins us via telephone to co-host with me the final half of the show. But first, we're going to go to a caller in upstate New York. We've got Matt on the line. Matt, what can we do for you tonight?
Good evening, Cesspool family. This is Matt the Copperhead.
Good to hear from you, Matt. Keith Alexander, what's on your mind?
Oh, Mr. Alexander, how you doing, sir?
Doing great.
Just a quick food for thought on this whole Oprah issue and other celebrities making these outlandish statements about our people. You know, I feel that they're going to get more emboldened as time goes on. And my personal feeling is they are on the threshold of instigating severe racial violence, if not that they already crossed.
Yeah,
that's
my fear as well, Matt, and that's what I was trying to point out, that
this
would not go unsanctioned were the shoe on the other foot if the mirror image were happening. So the fact that this isn't provoking even a mildly disapproving response from the media, what does that indicate? And I am with you on this. I think it's an ominous development.
Yes, sir. The only thing I've been thinking about for the last few days is I had the pleasure of breaking bread with a fellow patriot of our people the other day, and himself being a lawyer, we had a discussion about such actions, and it's going to probably take severe litigation on the class action level. And it would be nice for us to organize some kind of law firm, if you would, that we would have the same ability to fight for our people as those, you know, those liars down in Alabama, as I like to refer to them, in the Southern Poverty Law Center have.
You know, I've thought about that many times in the past, Matt, but here's the problem. The Jews are on their side and not on ours. The Jews are wealthy. They're extremely wealthy, and they're the most liberal part of the population that passes as white. They were the bankers and the bankrollers and the masterminds behind every liberal, radical, egalitarian movement that has occurred in America since they came over in the second great wave of immigration from 1890 to 1920. They were responsible for the civil rights movement. They were responsible for feminism. They were responsible for the gay rights movement. They were responsible for the criminal rights movement. And you could go on and on. They were responsible for globalism and global warming initiatives. They are behind all of that, and they're the ones that pay for it. And quite frankly, the funding of this particular radio show is just a case in point. Our people can't rub two nickels together. Meanwhile, the Jewish power and influence that seems to be driving the agenda of the left seems to have limitless resources. That's the problem. I don't know the solution. Do you, Matt?
Well, I have the rare opportunity to see people every day. Most of them are, you know, through my travels in New York City and Brooklyn. We can learn a lot from those people also, even though they do spend a great deal of time, money, and effort against us. And they don't get mad. They don't go head-to-head. They get even in their minds. And what I'm thinking about is, why shouldn't we do the same thing? Tie them up in courts. Get money from them.
Well, I'll agree with you on this, Matt. I don't have all the solutions. You know, we do what we can with the opportunities that have been given to us, and thankfully, it's been this radio program. And certainly, you know, Keith is right. What resources we have isn't a drop in the bucket. It wouldn't even cover dinner for the SPLC staff on a given night, what we raised in a month or even in a fundraising drive. But it is enough to keep us on the air, and that is enough to make a big difference. And I think that this show has done more than any pro-white entity in the last 50 years to change the discourse and to make an impact for our people. But it will take more than a single radio show if we're going to really turn this thing around. It will take advocacy organizations. It will take elected officials that are not cowardly and will show a willingness to speak out and stand up for their constituents and for our people. It will take legal actions. It will take everything working in unison, just as though the leftists had all of these things working in unison for a long, long time to get them to where they are. And it can happen, and if we can play a part in that, then our job will have been done. Thank you so much, Matt, for the call and for your support.
God bless you guys.
Hey, God bless you too, buddy. All right, Keith, I know you've got a lot to talk about. It seems as though the time's quickly draining, but what do you got?
Well, let me just make a couple of comments. First of all, this week it came to my attention that private enterprise is dead in Memphis, and I think it's dead in a lot of America, particularly any part of America that now has a majority black population, particularly in a city like Memphis where majority population translates into political control. In Memphis, socialism rules. What passes for private enterprise is basically a mad scramble to milk the government cow through the fence. Basically, black entrepreneurship seems to exclusively involve getting money from the government and setting up businesses with it. Most of these are fake businesses, phony businesses. Some of them are outright charities, things they call NGOs, non-governmental organizations, as well as outright charities. None of these things actually produce anything. And basically, any private enterprise operation like FedEx in Memphis or any other business in Memphis has an extreme misfortune, because we've said before that when you kill the dog, all the fleas will die. Well, if you're unfortunate enough to be a dog in a place like Memphis that has a proliferation of fleas, you will get infested and eventually succumb, sicken, and die. Basically, these businesses, these true businesses in a place like Memphis, are like a skin diver that jumps into a lagoon and comes out covered with leeches. These leeches are all of these charities and non-governmental organizations that are all over the place trying to take their money. It's a sad spectacle, folks, and it's something that you're going to see more and more of in this brave new world of America that the left has in store for us. We'll be back with more after these words from our sponsors.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Ladies and gentlemen of our Liberty Roundtable audience, we invite you to consider joining us. We use the services of George Costello and Utah Document Solutions. They are your authorized Xerox sales agent. We've been experiencing great service, pricing, and results, and we've gotten to know George and his team at Utah Document Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent. We were facing a huge increase from our former supplier, and we've been pleased to enjoy great service and an even lower cost of our documents. We recommend that you check with George to see if he can save you money like he has for us. Call George at 801-216-4816. He is your authorized Xerox sales agent. The number again, 801-216-4816.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
James Edwards, Keith Alexandrian. Just got a comment sent to us. It reads, "This Thanksgiving, I'm thankful for James and Keith. God bless you and keep up the wonderful work." That was sent in from Doug in Kingston, Ohio, and Doug and everyone else listening, by the way. We're thankful for you on Thanksgiving and always. God bless you as well. You know, we do this because we love you, and we love this audience, and we love our cause, and we love our people. We certainly aren't doing it to get rich. We just hope to, you know, have enough money to be able to continue to do it. We do this because we're in service to a cause greater than ourselves, and people like Doug out there, Keith, in Kingston, Ohio, make the show possible every Saturday night.
Thanks, James, and thank you, Doug, and thanks all to all the listeners out there. You know, you're the reason we do this. We're getting through to some people. We need to have you give your best efforts so that we can all get through to more and more people, which reminds me of this wonderful article in the Summer 2013 Occidental Quarterly by Robert Griffin on why we have race traitors in the white community today and what can we do about them. And he's really quite sympathetic, because one thing that I've noticed is that if you really want to provoke conflict and turmoil in your life, the surest way to do it is to be truly independent of thought and in thought and deed in your life. And there's nothing you can do that will proclaim your fearless independence any more than being frank, forthright, and candid with a sense of white racial solidarity in today's marketplace of ideas in America and in other white nations throughout the world. This is the one new taboo, the one that has sprung up when all other taboos have been torn down. Now, how do we cope with people that succumb to being fearful about this taboo and thereby become race traitors? Here's how you do it. Let's get to page 72 in the Occidental Quarterly in Robert Griffin's article. He said, "The people in power in America have put a racial game on the table, and it makes abundant sense to play and win it within its rules. to say within that metaphor, a winning move for individual white people like John Jones. He's a hypothetical character that he has created, that Griffin has created in his article, is to put down their race or at least lay low and keep their mouths shut and defer to minority and Jewish interests and even serve them. If John doesn't do that, he pays a big Maslow cost for it. Social rejection, a barren love life, feeling like there must be something bad about him, and the unemployment line. An observer might disparage John as a sellout to his people, and that's a legitimate enough criticism. But then again, they don't have to live his life. I'm not going to sit here with a secure job as a tenured professor in a university and tell John he should live the life of an unemployed pariah. I'm, for all practical purposes, an employed pariah. It's not pleasant, however, that said, I personally wouldn't have it any other way. I'm fine with my life. I'm just saying that I'm not about to tell anybody that they are obliged to, say, sign their name to what you and I are reading right now. And I'm also not about to tell John Jones that he doesn't know what's going on. I'm reminded of the lyrics of the old Bob Dylan song, Ballad of a Thin Man, where he says, "Something's happening here, but you don't know what it is, do you, Mr. Jones?" Back to the often contradictory nature of reality. Our Mr. Jones both knows and doesn't know what is happening here. He does know that crossing the official line on race is going to cost him plenty personally, and that the only life he will ever live is the one he is putting together now. And he realizes that he has just one shot at doing a good job at it. One false move around race, and John can kiss goodbye the bank presidency and the political career and heading up the United Way campaign in his community. And John knows he is afraid. He knows that his fears about race are well founded. If he doesn't play the racial game that's on the table, to go back to that metaphor, there are people with power over him who will hurt him as much as they possibly can. I was unaware of white racialism when I was hired, promoted, and tenured at the university. If I were then the way I am now regarding racial matters, while I'd like to think that I'd have found good work to do in my life, it wouldn't have been in a university. I wouldn't have gotten hired in the first place. And if somehow I had been hired, I wouldn't have made it through the 6-year probationary period and become tenured permanent status and attained permanent status or tenure. On the other hand, our Mr. Jones doesn't know what's going on. His race is going to hell in a handbasket, and he doesn't know it. I have a better handle on that reality than John Jones does. Although that is far from saying I'm clued in and he isn't, I have experienced enough in a long life to realize that, indeed, there is plenty I don't know, including about the status and fate of the white race. Per the Dylan song, yet another Jewish source, now that I think about it, yes, Bob Dylan's real name is Jerry Zimmerman, and he lived in Minnesota, moved to Greenwich Village and pretended to be some type of Okey or something with a Gentile name like Bob Dylan when he's as Jewish as Benjamin Netanyahu. But getting back to the article, there is something happening here and I don't know what it is. I need constantly to keep that in mind, including when I am writing an article for a theme issue of the Occidental Observer. What are the implications of what I've just outlined for those who care about the European heritage for white people? The following things come to mind. Critique them and add to the list. His number one is, white analysis, advocacy, and action need to be grounded in the multiple realities that comprise total reality. In this writing, aggregate and individual-based analysis yield different and even contradictory realities about the white circumstance. Another reality is to take into account the moment-to-moment experience existence of actual white people. you, me, and every other white person alive today, as well as those who have already completed their journeys through life and those not yet born. From that, call it an existential perspective, there are many white realities as there are or have been or will be white people. Living, breathing, mortal white people don't live their lives in the collective or in the abstract. They fashion particular lives within their particular circumstances. Yeah, I'm here. And that understanding, undertaking, turns out well for them or doesn't, period. Whether it is immortal or short-sighted, it is understandable that individuals will do what they can, including with respect to racial matters, to ensure that they and their loved ones do well, gain status and power and material wealth and all that that can provide, both now and in the future. Even as we deal with white concerns regarding favored orientations rooted in certain values and truths and leading to certain insights and actions, as we do it, we need to keep in mind the orientations and values and truths and where they may lead, period. The ideal, it seems to me, is to be guided by multiple perspectives, each informing and complementing the other, with the hope that the result will be a close approximation of the great truths Niels Bohr talked about. We'll try to get back to this, I guess, next week, because I'm bailing out right now. James is going to fly the ship solo with a little bit of help from Winston hereafter. We've got a few words from our sponsors now, and James will be right back with you.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend.
All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the political cesspool, everyone. James Edwards here. The only show on the only network that will allow the truth to be told about some of the most contentious and controversial topics facing our country today. Certainly people are free to disagree with us, but don't you dare dismiss us with some silly adjective because you can't handle a proper debate about these incredibly sensitive and important topics that we address every single week. And we'll be doing it now for the remainder of the program with the one and only Winston Smith joining us via telephone tonight, replacing Keith Alexander on deck of the CSS Cesspool. Winston, how are you tonight? Great to have you.
I'm really good, James. I'm very happy to be aboard, and I have to disagree with you on replacing Keith. I don't think anybody could do that. Keith is unique among us, and well, what can I say? I call him our intellectual great white shark, and he is definitely irreplaceable. Even by the likes of myself.
Well, you're far too modest, but I will agree with you that, you know, certainly everyone plays a role on the team here, from our audience to our production staff, certainly our owner, God knows, and then those of us on the hosting crew. But, yeah, I mean, Keith is one of a million, and the contributions he makes to this show every night, here every week, is just innumerable. But listen, I'm glad to have you. I know you had some technical difficulties joining us last week, as was the plan, and so we get you tonight. And perhaps it was divine providence that you joined us tonight, because I am, as I said at the very top of the show, particularly incensed by a few of the stories we'll be covering tonight. I've had a little bit of a cold this week, but the show must go on. And so, Winston, the first thing, and I know I emailed to you a list of topics we'll be covering for the remainder of the show. You've been dutifully looking over them to prepare some of your commentary in advance. We're going to talk about the knockout game first. And I'm going to circle back to the comment, one of the two absurd comments Oprah made in her rant, her anti-white rant last week, saying that there's streets in America where black people can still not walk without being terrorized. Of course, any thinking person knows not only is that not true, the exact opposite is true. It's called the knockout game, where blacks target whites solely because of their skin color, and they knock them out, sometimes kill them, and it happens every day. And the mainstream media has actually picked up on it a little bit this week. I've seen Sean Hannity cover it. Greta Van Susteren covered it four times this week. Limbaugh's talked about it. We started talking about it, and we're going to continue talking about it now. We're going to play a clip.
Three teenagers are under arrest, accused of beating a homeless man in Hoboken to his death.
And police believe the teens were playing a sick game.
Knockout is a game that a lot of our teenagers play, just where they dare one of the guys to just randomly choose anybody walking down the street.
Investigators say the teens, all from Jersey City, seen here on surveillance video shortly after the assault, were allegedly playing knockout.
My man got slammed. James, the one-hitter quitter.
It's called a one-hitter quitter. You try to hit with one swing and knock them completely out.
What is knockout?
The game knockout is like when people ball it, like they all try to see where their hands goes at, and whoever come walking down the block or something, they just knock them out.
You just knock them out, you hit them with a blow, you take their belongings.
Knockout is like when you just punch somebody and they knock, like they go to sleep when you hit them.
What you are about to see is a violent, deliberate, startling attack. Watch. Lying with his face on the curb on Tito Way is 50-year-old Kappa teacher James Adelsberger, walking away from the attack, seeming to joke and celebrate, are five teenagers.
What's the point?
Like, for the fun of it, like for little kids to run around, hit people, and knock them out, even though they shouldn't be doing it, but people do it.
You can see the teacher was walking, briefcase in hand, and with no fear as he moves toward the group of boys. Watch as one of them crosses in front of the others and violently attacks Adelsberger. He falls to the ground, slamming his head on the curb, unable to even use his hands to catch his fall.
And they hit them.
Yeah. Why?
Because they think it's funny.
They think it's funny, like...
They think it's amusing. That's what they think.
It's just more like picking a target that is alone, defenseless. They just go, boom, when it's the right time and the right place.
It's not anger, it's...
No.
It's just something when people boil like.
It just sound like you just can't be around the wrong crowd, because the wrong crowd, they'll gas them up the door.
They just want to see if you got enough strength to knock somebody out.
It could be anybody. It could be a mother with her children. It could be a guy. I know one time they got the UPS guy.
Well, what's the point? I mean, really, is it just a macho thing of kids?
It's a macho thing.
So here's the thing, though, folks. The knockout game is not played. You just knock out whoever's nearest to you. Blacks don't knock out other blacks in the knockout game. They exclusively target whites. And so for Oprah Winfrey to say that, and only vulnerable whites that have been marinated in this silliness that, you know, everybody's just an interchangeable part. No, there are some people in our community that have a greater propensity for violence than others. And you should be aware of that. You heard the audio from the video that we featured at our website this week. And when you watch the video, it contains security footage from a number of white people being knocked out. I think one of them was actually killed. You know, you get knocked in the back of the head hard enough, it could happen. It gives you a sickening peek, though, into contemporary black youth culture. It's quite graphic. This is the type of news that's going to galvanize people who are still asleep at the wheel. And it's better to watch it and cringe than to be unaware of certain realities that exist and end up dead. Now, I emailed Oprah Winfrey's people about this story and, of course, received no comment. No, did I expect to receive a comment. But she said, you know, in order for racial progress to occur, Winston, white people would have to die. I don't know if there's ever been a case of a white person, at least not in my lifetime, that's done something like this. I mean, maybe there's been one or two, you know, very few and far between, but you're talking about a daily occurrence here. Your comment, Winston, on the phenomenon of the knockout game, or as they also call it, polar bear hunting.
James, the first thing I want to say about it is it's not a game. People die from it. People carry lifelong injuries from this. It is not a game at all. This is deadly, serious business, and we need to take it deadly serious. You know, James, this thing did not just start happening recently. I recall this going on for several years, but for some reason, it didn't matter that much until it started happening to Jews in New York City. That's when it started being called hate crimes. That's when it really got attention. But that was not so, the attacks that have been visited upon white victims. And all the non-Jewish victims are white. This is nothing short of hate crimes. This is hate crimes being committed on a massive scale by young blacks. And I think, James, only Fox News has referred to the perpetrators as blacks. You know how the rest of the media refers to black thugs like this. They call them teens or youths or whatever. But you know, imagine if this was primarily white teens attacking defenseless black people. Do you think the media would be silent about that? Hell no.
Oh, God, no.
Do you think the community leaders and special race baiters like Sharpton and Jackson would ignore it as they are now? That's unlikely. These are hate crimes being committed by cowards. They never do it when they're alone. They always do it on lone targets. They're feral pack animals. They're savages.
No, and they are. And, you know, and this is another thing. I remember one time reading an article saying that we had referred to black people as savages, and that's certainly not the case. I mean, we've always talked about the fact that, you know, there's always exceptions, and I've even gone to great extents and great pains to talk about some of the personal to some of the black people that I've known in my life that have been upstanding, great people. And certainly if white people had played the knockout game, we would call them savages as well. But no, there is no doubt that the people who play this, and they are black, they are savages, and they are animals. And perhaps to call them an animal is to give them too kind of a to label them with too kind of a term, because I love my dog, and my dog would never do anything like this. But no, and you're exactly right, Winston. Of course, if the roles and races were reversed here, you'd hear about the knockout game or whatever they call it all the time. And you know you would, because the closest we've ever gotten to something like this in recent years was the Zimmerman-Martin story. The media was so starved for a white-on-black shooting or crime that they had to cast the obviously non-white and Hispanic Zimmerman as a white guy. That's the closest they could get to a white-on-black crime was a Hispanic-on-black crime. And or not even a crime, obviously. That was a case of self-defense, and we covered that thoroughly. But that's the closest they could get to it. Anyway, I've got to take a break. I'm going to give you another example about horrific racially motivated crime, Winston, and then we're going to talk about what the media's worried about this week.
Let's
on the flip side.
And come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Shop in your underwear. Get prepared in your pajamas. Get food for camping from the comfort of your own bed. Whatever you do, get in on Freeze Dry Guy's Bean Blowout Sale. There's no better bargain on beans. Dehydrated small red chili beans, pinto beans, and baby lima beans. With a super long shelf life, these healthy beans are a big time score for emergency preparedness or outdoor activities. Bean blowout cases of 6 number 10 cans for just $97. Only $97 plus free shipping. No need to gas up and go. Shop online now at freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. This super sale runs now all the way through Cyber Monday, December 2nd, while supplies last. Freeze Dry Guys, beans, they're good for your heart. The more you buy now, the more you feel smart. On sale only at freezedryguy.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, the media, at least Fox News, is talking about the knockout game this week. We were talking about it before it was fashionable. And in fact, the political cesspool probably had more of a role than you know in making it at least passable to talk about that. We were talking about these issues. I see so many things now that we have talked about, either in weeks or days or sometimes even years before, that now the media is touching that they never would have touched before. World Net Daily, a prime example. Colin Flaherty certainly does better research than we do on tracking black-on-white violence. But, you know, World Net Daily wouldn't touch these issues not long ago, and now it's you know, they're bread and butter to a certain extent. I think, folks, the role the political cesspool is playing in making this at least a topic for discourse is probably greater than even I or you realize. And we're very proud about that. You know, when we first started, you would have never heard Fox News talking about anything dealing with a racial animus, unless it was, of course, white racism, which in some cases does exist. Let's not, you know, be silly. There are people in the white community, certainly, we want to keep at a distance as well. But by and large, rules exist, the exceptions too, but the stereotype is there for a reason. I'm just going to draw from one. This Council of Conservative Citizens does a great job as well as tracking black-on-white crime, which is pandemic. I'm going to draw just from one story this week, Winston, and then I'm going to give you a compare and contrast. A white medical student was murdered execution style. Police in South Carolina have arrested three black male suspects for the murder of Paul DeWolf. Paul DeWolf was a second lieutenant in the military that was attending medical school. The victim was found dead inside his Ann Arbor, Michigan apartment of a shotgun wound, or excuse me, of a gunshot wound. The police have determined that nothing was stolen, and they do not believe that the victim knew his killer. So basically, according to the police investigation, this man, who was from South Carolina, living in Ann Arbor, Michigan, he was a second lieutenant in the military, going to medical school. He's dead now because of black-on-white violence. They basically just said that these people killed him because he was white. And you look at the mugshots of the alleged killers, and I tell you, they look like human garbage. And that's just what they look like. I have a 3-year-old daughter, and I will make her aware of the realities as I see them and leave her to make her own choices, let her own free will determine her ultimate path. But I will raise her in a way, and I will teach her things that I believe she will need to know. Now, as far as the media is concerned, if she were walking down the street and was aware that a certain group of the population commits crimes at a completely grossly disproportionate rate than her own people, and she steers clear of them, she will have committed a greater crime as far as they are concerned than if she had stayed on the straight path and ended up dead like so many whites. Like so many whites. The knockout game, Winston, this kid, this, you know, a guy that was on track to become a great and productive member of society. He was a second lieutenant in the military going to med school. He's dead now. Those genes won't be passed on. Whatever contributions he would have given to all of mankind will never be realized now because he's dead, because a couple of animals killed him because he was white. Now, what's the Southern Poverty Law Center? You know, they have a blog called Hate Watch. They're keeping out, they're keeping a watch out for hatefulness. They're not talking about the knockout game. They're not talking about this white medical student that was killed because he was white. No, what they're talking about is a case in San Jose, California, where a black student at the university was called the N-word. Now, that's number one on their list, and it's not just number one on their list. That has been a national news story. Now, there was some hazing involved in that incident as well, and I'm all for those students being punished for that. I think they were expelled. But is that a bigger story than a life and death type of scenario? A couple of white fools, a couple of people with bad manners, you know, calling someone else the N-word and or some of the other things they call. Is that really a bigger story? You know, that's number one. And if the Southern Poverty Law Center wasn't complaining about that, they'd be complaining about the American Family Association or some other group that doesn't deserve to be on there by any standard of measurement. But that's what they're focused on. And if you do a Google search for the incident in San Jose versus this white medical student, the returns will be 100 to 1. You'll find 100 news stories about what happened in San Jose. maybe a couple local news reports about this kid that died in a racially charged murder in Michigan. There's something wrong with that, Winston. There's something sick about that.
Oh, no doubt, James. There's something extremely wrong with it. It's completely upside down. It shouldn't be happening. But that's the wretched world we live in. That's the wretched country we live in these days. When somebody using a word is worse than somebody killing somebody. And James, I was thinking about this poor student that you were talking about, and it brought to mind a story that I saw, I think, last week about two Gonzaga University students who might have been suspended or even expelled because they used a handgun to defend themselves against a black guy who had intruded into their apartment. This guy knocked on a door and asked him to give him $15, I think it was, because he just got out of jail. And one of the white kids in the apartment didn't feel comfortable with him, so he yelled for his roommate, and the guy came out with a gun, a handgun, and the black guy ran away. And those guys faced expulsion for defending themselves. Granted, the apartment they were living in was owned by the university, but how the university could prefer that they possibly be dead to having a gun, that's beyond me. It's just like they would prefer these kids to die than to graduate, as long as they don't have a gun. You know, everything's fine. But going back to the knockout game, James, first of all, I don't want to call it a game anymore. It's not a game. These are attacks. These are knockout attacks. Second of all, I read this past week that one of the three teens, shall we say, that killed the Australian runners, Christopher Lane. Remember the guy who was just jumping?
Yes.
And they shot him? One of those kids, one of those teens, had sent tweets and messages about participating in knockout attacks. So maybe it's a gateway activity into something worse. You get desensitized when you treat people cheaply, when you treat them as objects. You become desensitized to them, and then it becomes very easy to do worse than to kill them. But folks, if the last thing I'm going to say about them, these knockout attacks, is if you haven't done so yet, you need to pull up and read John Derbyshire's essay called "The Talk: Non-Black Version," and then he gives some rules to live by. It's kind of a spoof on the so-called talk that black parents give their sons before they kind of enter into adulthood. I don't know that it actually happens, but John Derbyshire did a spoof on that. But it's actually good advice. He says. Let's see.
And Winston, before you go into that, I will preface it by saying John Derbyshire, of course, wrote this for the National Review, I believe, a very prominent establishment, respectable conservative, not much conservatism left there, but that's what they're known for. He was fired for it, of course. You can't tell that much truth for the National Review. But, with regards to the knockout game, if people had read John Derbyshire's report, which you're about to give a couple of passages from, perhaps they would still be alive, or at least not have been knocked out. You know, if I'm walking down an alley and I see a pack of five or six black teenagers, I'm going to go the other direction. Is it because I'm a coward? No, it's because I'm smart. If I were to be attacked by them and defended myself, it would just be a hate crime on my part. You just can't win. You can't stand up for yourself and really be a man when it comes to defending yourself against black violence. You either die or you fight back and you go to jail for, a hate crime. If you don't believe it, look at Zimmerman. Anyway, and this is a talk that every parent should have with their children. We only have a minute left. Try to read what you can of it, Winston. If we have to carry it over into the third hour, we will.
Okay, one correction, James. Derbyshire wrote that for Talkie Magazine.
Talkie Mag.
And then that's when National Review got word of it, they fired him.
Okay, so it wasn't even written for National Review, but because he wrote it for another publication, they fired him anyway. Got it.
Okay, here's some extracts from this article by John Derbyshire, "The Talk, Non-Black Version." Starting at point number 8, Thus, while black-on-black behavior is more antisocial than the average than is white-on-white behavior, average black-on-white behavior is a degree more antisocial yet. A small cohort of blacks, in my experience around 5%, is ferociously hostile to whites and will go to great lengths or inconvenience to harm us. A much larger cohort of blacks, around half, will go along passively if the 5% take leadership in some event. They will do this out of racial solidarity, the natural willingness of most humans to be led, and a vague feeling that whites have it coming. Thus, while always attentive to the particular qualities of individuals, on many occasions where you will have nothing to guide you but knowledge of those mean differences, use statistical common sense. And here's where he got in trouble. He says, avoid concentrations of blacks not all known by you personally. Stay out of heavily black neighborhoods. If planning a trip, Stephanie told me music's on.
Music is on, and we will be back. I think people get the gist of it, but we will certainly follow up about that. And that was, of course, a story we talked about at great length when it was originally written a year or two ago. But it's something, you know, I think I'll repost it this week.
Don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.